Hi, Odyssey fans. I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse Magazine. Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Coming up on the podcast, it's time to talk about the creation of the club story, Voice of Freedom, from the seed of the idea to fully grown two-part episode.
Which means that I get to do two of my favorite things at the same time. Number one, issue a big spoiler warning. And two, hear my voice with super cool reverb. You ready?
Go for it.
Spoiler warning. That was neat. Anyway, if you haven't heard Voice of Freedom in the Club, stop listening to this podcast and check it out now.
And with that warning out of the way, let's talk to the team behind this episode. Writer-director Marshall Younger and sound designers Christopher Deal and Nathan Jones.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having
us.
It's great to be here.
Bob and Jesse.
Well, cool. Well, as we talk about Voice of Freedom, we'll start with the story and then move to the sound design. But to give our listeners a chance to hear from all three of you right away, we want to kick things off with our
TRQ.
Oh, which is our totally random question submitted by a fan. This one comes from Penny L., who wants to know, what's the craziest carnival or amusement park ride you've ever been on?
Oh, anything with teacups.
Wow.
Yeah, those got me when I was an eighth grader. Those teacups got me. Bad.
They're so deceptive.
See, I was like the one with that you're backed up against the wall and you stick to the wall.
Oh, the Gravitron. Force.
Oh, yes. They call it some kind of barrel names. Something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
you'd see people walking out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not straight, but
yeah, I would not. I would not even try that. I would not even attempt that ride.
Not anymore. Yeah. Yeah.
No, any of the swirly things are always just a little iffy. You know, well, when it comes to the end of the ride, you're just not sure where people are going to be able to. They're getting pretty green.
All right. Well, that was a great rousing start to the podcast. So, Marshall, let's start with you.
And hopefully, these will keep your head spinning.
Yes.
You've written a number of alliance stories for the club, Marshall. Episodes that showcase how God is using other ministries. But in this case, you've worked with Transworld Radio before. In what way?
Yeah, I wrote some scripts for them quite a few years ago. They worked with an organization called River Cross, and we did a show called Jibota Bridge, which is one of these broadcasts that it goes to countries all over the world. That particular show took place in Africa. And Kathy Buchanan, one of our Odyssey writers, also writes for that show. So I loved working with them. And I definitely knew that there were some good stories about TWR's ministry that I could develop. And so, yeah, when I got the opportunity to work with them, I jumped on it.
So the original idea for Voice of Freedom came from a true story from TWR's literature. So tell us how that story informed your script.
Yeah, when we work with one of these ministries that partner with us, they always send us a list of testimonies and things from their listeners or the people that are involved in the ministries. And one of these stories fascinated me. It was from a woman in a country that did not allow the teaching of Christianity in their country. And she came upon this broadcast, this TWR broadcast. She heard it and she knew it was illegal. And she started listening in secret. And she would take her radio in the closet with her every night. And you know, the courage to do that at the threat of imprisonment intrigued me because we know we don't have to deal with any of that kind of stuff in the United States. Now, when I sent the script to TWR, though, they told me that it didn't really work that way that I had it in my story. It's not that people accidentally come across a broadcast. It's that TWR actually smuggles shortwave radios into the country and they listen that way. So perhaps this woman in the story had heard someone else's radio. I'm not sure how that came about, but it was just, you know, listening to this in secret and knowing that somebody could just come into your door in a second and throw you in prison for it. That's fascinating to me.
Yeah. Of course, your script isn't entirely reality based. There's no Jiho out there as we speak, being mentored by Mr. Whitaker. Mm-hmm. Even so, how did you incorporate elements of other TWR stories to make this one feel more authentic?
Well, I mean, there were quite a few stories about underground Christian churches and in countries that had laws prohibiting Christian teachings and Bibles and Bible studies, and all of that stuff made it into the show. The thing is that some of these places, some of these groups, the broadcast was all they had. I mean, they didn't even have Bibles to accompany it. They had the TWR broadcast. That was their only reference point to anything, you know, any of the teachings of Jesus. And to me, the amount of responsibility that TWR has, being the only voice, and that was, you know, that the show is called Voice of Freedom, and that's what Jiho encountered, was this voice out there. They didn't even know who it was, but he was teaching them something that he'd never heard before.
You know, when I first heard this story, it just felt like North Korea, right? But
yeah,
so
right.
Why didn't you just simply call Jiho's home North Korea?
Yeah, so I did a lot of research on this, and it is certainly based on some of the conditions in North Korea. You know, the makeup of the government, the fact that Christian material is illegal, the re-education camps, even the scene when they were in the trucks where they were driving by the statues of the leaders of the past. It's the law that you have to stop and pay homage to them, and that's all real. And even the character of Ara, she mentions this new water park. That's real. That came started in like 2016, 2017. They built that in North Korea. But I didn't call it North Korea because I wanted to distance it from reality. It's a fictional story that these things did not happen. And most of all, there's been no revolution like there is in the story where North Koreans are suddenly able to visit the South. That kind of thing never happened. And so I did want it to make sure that it was, the audience knew that this was a fictional story.
Yeah, we did something similar, you may recall, with the episodes for Open Doors, when we created the Middle Eastern country of Afghanistan, which actually is where Ron Perkins is stationed right now. Don't know if you know.
We have used Afghanistan on a number of occasions.
That's great.
and I think, too, Marshall, it's probably in part because we don't want to draw unnecessary attention to ministries or to Christians in actual countries that may be doing great work, but have to be very, very careful and discreet about the way that they are talked about.
Right. You never know who's listening and what how they might react. And so, yeah, we did have to be careful about that.
You know, another reason that we don't use the actual country's name is, you know, political climate changes and situations change, and we want the show to be timeless. So it's sometimes easier to come up with a country name so that you can apply this to different situations and then still be able to use the story.
Yeah, it's a good point, Chris, because these shows will be listened to decades from now. I mean, we're celebrating, what, 35 years of Odyssey next year? So these are universal truths, biblical truths that don't change. So I think that's a great point. You know, Marshall, this script, like so many other of the shows that are releasing now, was recorded during COVID. And Chris and Marshall, would there have been any differences if this episode had been recorded in our usual, you know, family-style way in studio?
Well, one thing that we always look at on the writing side is that we try to limit the number of characters in each scene. Because at the time everybody was recording from home, and it just made things a lot easier to have fewer places where things are coming in. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there are no scenes that have more than three people in it, or at least three people talking in it, in this show.
Yeah, I think that's right, Marshall. I think there weren't any more than three in this particular show at a time. You know, there are challenges being in people's home studios versus in the studio, and this is several shows into us recording in this remote atmosphere that we had to do. So we knew kind of what the pitfalls were when it came to recording remotely with different actors. And I think we kind of overcame a lot of them. We knew how to ask actors to set up properly beforehand, make sure their rooms were padded and stuff so that you didn't hear echo, because there were several scenes in this show that took place outside. And that's one of the issues that you have in these kind of shows. Early on, we were having to really watch out for certain environments because you don't know what.
Because you can't have a lot of echo when you're outside.
Right. So then, at least in an audio drama, that's, you know, that really tells your environment is that amount of reverb, that echo that you hear. And so at this point, we were doing pretty well. And all of these actors had really good setups, as I would call it, good microphones, and their environment was well insulated so that we could record them. It was interesting looking back, the sense of them all having to be separated might have made the show actually have that much more emotion behind it in that isolation feel. If they were all in family style sitting in the room, you know, there's some camaraderie that happens. And this actually created that feel of isolation. So
I never thought of that. You may have something there. Yeah.
Yeah. Just looking at it that way, I think it created us that sense for all the actors to have that.
This family was not the closest of families.
Right.
They weren't very touchy feely. The father was very stern. And so, yeah, you're absolutely right. It might help with the isolation might have helped with that.
This was also a very physical script with lots of action and movement. That requires what people in the voiceover biz, Jesse, call efforts.
Yes.
Grunts and groans and vocal sounds from the actors that help us envision what their characters are doing. Now, in the movie world, guys, those are usually added after production, but we record them in the studio before a single sound effect is created. How do you know what you'll need before you produce a show? And then how do you direct the actors to get the right sounds?
Well, as a sound designer, we usually get the script ahead of time before we go in the studio. And I'm always thinking, as I'm reading the script, what the show is going to sound like when I'm done. That's how I think through it. So I'm trying to make note of efforts that I might need to make certain sound effects work. So you try the best you can to grab those, because this is the only time you're going to have the actors is when you're recording them there. Later on, you know, we wouldn't have that stuff. We can't do it. We can't voice it ourselves because we don't sound like the actors, obviously.
You'd be surprised how a grunt can sound different coming out of a different person. Right?
Yeah, it does.
Well, the audience wouldn't think of some of the things that they believe have efforts involved. Like we would say to the actors, okay, now you need to bend over and pick up that book. We need to hear the efforts of that. And the actor would say, well, I don't make a noise when I bend over and pick up a book.
Some of us do, but we need that anyway.
Get a little older.
Yeah, I think it's funny, you know, when you talk about the different efforts coming from different people. One of the funniest moments was Penny trying to throw a baseball at the dunk tank that Wooten was in. And I just remember the direction, you know, it should just be a light effort, you know, if you throwing a baseball and it was this and that. And Kimmy was so funny and she had everybody laughing because the grunt that she gave out sounded like she was throwing a cinder block.
So you just need like a, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because what you're looking for is a, right? And she goes,
she's shot putting
this ball. And the funniest thing was that Katie Lee was still in character, but only for a split second. And she just started laughing because it was so funny to hear that. But anyway,
I mean, there were quite a few in this show when you think about, when they're breaking into these rooms and they're, trying to, I say capture, they're arresting, the people that, you know, we know that are Christians in the room, but they're grabbing him and doing stuff. And so you're trying to describe to these people while they're sitting in their home. It's like, okay, you're busting through the door and we need the grunts of them coming in and, you know, shoving these people to the wall. And, you know, and it's always interesting to hear what people actually do. You hate to tell them what to do. You want to kind of see what they'll do naturally. And it's always fun to hear what their final grunts and groans and motions all sound like.
We'll have much more with Marshall, Nate, and Chris on our next podcast, including a whole lot more about mixing, crowds, and even the absence of nature sounds.
Yeah, that nature sound stuff was really interesting. Meanwhile, Voice of Freedom Parts 1 and 2 is available in the club right now. But our listeners already knew that with all of our spoiler warnings up front.
But they may not know that the penultimate episode of Album 71,
aka the second to last episode of Album 71,
was just released in the club yesterday. It's called Set a Watchman, and you don't want to miss it. The final episode, titled Worth It, releases next Tuesday.
And stay tuned to the podcast in the days ahead. Voting has closed on the Avery Awards, so you know what that means.
Oh yeah. You and I may be delivering the awards while trapped in an elevator, an escape room, or a tropical beach very soon.
Personally, I vote for the latter. But for now, that's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family.
Join the club at AIOclub.org.
Or check out our website at AdventuresInOdyssey.com.
Or if you care to talk to someone in person at Focus, call 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day is an adventure.